Hello, my name's Peter. I'm an alcoholic. This is like on the internet, right? It gets recorded. So everybody on the internet, I'm not like sweaty and weird or shaking, and like I'm real confident and I look great. And my sobriety date is January 3rd, 2013. I have a sponsor. He's speaking after me, and I'm hoping I can like do really bad so you all think he does really well. And I sponsor others, and I have a home group, and I like do AA stuff all the time. And you know, I was born December 27th, 1991. Birthday's coming up, everybody. You know, I was a real sick kid. Like I was never supposed to walk, but I had these surgeries and now I can walk. And I was misdiagnosed with cystic fibrosis, and I was prepared to die at age like 5. They were like, "You're gonna die in like 6 months. What do you want to do?" And like it was like a big thing. And turns out they were wrong, and I didn't die, and it was fine. And but I spent like the majority of my time as a kid in hospitals and in doctor's offices and in like the Center for Infectious Disease and like really like fucked up places that no kid really wants to be. And like it was weird, and I was under anesthesia a lot, and I was, you know, given like drugs after surgeries a lot, and I liked it a lot, like from a young age. I would remember after surgery that they'd be like, you know, count backwards from 10, and like I would like try really, really hard to stay awake because the room would spin and it would feel good, and then like I'd fall asleep and something would happen, and then I'd be awake later and I felt weird and I was into it. And I moved a lot. I was born in St. Pete. I lived in Austin, Texas. I lived in Des Moines, Iowa. I lived in Chicago. I kind of lived in Wisconsin for a little bit. I kind of lived in Minneapolis for a little bit, and it was the same thing no matter where I went after I took my first drink. I was pretty normal as a kid. Like, people say they felt weird. I didn't feel weird. I had friends. I seemed to fit in fine. Everybody seemed to love me. It was not a big deal. But once I started drinking, things were awful. Like, things were just terrible. Like, as soon as I started drinking, the first time I drank completely alone because I didn't have any friends to drink with me because I had just moved and I lived all alone and I had nothing to do. And I decided, like, God, I should have, like, looked at the time before I started, right? Jeez. You got, like, cards? That's nice. So I drank alone, and no one taught me how to drink, and I didn't have, my parents don't drink, but they have alcohol for their friends. So I drank, like, a fifth, almost, of whiskey and, like, chased it with beer because I figured I'd get double drunk. And that was, so I was getting double drunk alone in the basement. And I like puked all over this rug, and like I broke a window, and I like stole stuff out of cars, and like I ran around and made a big mess. And then this rug was the big issue was this rug, right? I like puked all over this rug, and it was like a weird color because I puked all over it. And it started off as yellow, and so I cleaned it with bleach, and it ended up as white. And my mom knew I drank because I bleached the rug, and I got in trouble. I got arrested when I was 14 for DUI because I liked to take my sister's car out before I had a license, and I liked to drink when I was out and about. And I got a DUI when I was 14 years old and ended up in a rehab because I also had a bunch of drugs in the car, and I got arrested and got in a bunch of trouble. That's how I went to my first rehab. And when I was in my first rehab, I met some friends that became good friends for the next few years, the kind of people that you go to rehab with and the kind of people that, like, you know, you get fucked up with after rehab. And they introduced me to IV drugs at 15, and I don't feel like I would be telling the truth if I didn't say that, because I started doing IV drugs at 15, and it changed my life forever. By the time I was 21, which was, you know, like last year, it was not that long ago, I turned 21, and I went to treatment a week later, because at that point, I had another intervention, and my parents were real pissed at me. I was living in an apartment in Chicago alone because a roommate had been scared out of it. It was covered in blood. I peed in bottles, even though I had a working bathroom. I was sick every morning. I was sick every night waiting for the morning to come again so my drug dealer would wake up. And I insisted to my family that at this intervention that I did not have a problem. I insisted that while I was looking over a pile of like drugs and paraphernalia that my father was in tears. And I remember I agreed to go to rehab because my dad was crying. My sponsor told me it's okay because I got sober for my dad. I did not get sober for myself. I eventually stayed sober for myself, but the reason that day that I didn't get fucked up and the reason that day that I went to treatment was because I had never seen my dad cry before. Does that mean 10 minutes left or like, okay, that's fine. So I'm like in, I'm getting sober, right? And there's 10 minutes left. That's pretty good. So I'm like at this intervention and like, it's not like my family had this intervention for me and I went to treatment. It was not that smooth. There was an intervention and then like there was like 10 days of like insanity and then I went to treatment and it involved like stolen cars, like selling drugs in some place called Waimama. I'm not really sure where that is, but I was there. And I was also in Orlando and in Plant City with a guy with all gold teeth named Rudy. And this was like, I had only been in Florida for like a few days and I like figured all this out and like I was really doing it down here like I was back home. And it was a mess. Like, I mean, I figured like maybe if I detoxed and like maybe if like I didn't like do this certain drug, like it would be okay. But I literally drank a beer because that's all my parents had. And then all of a sudden I'm going to Waimama and I'm like chilling with Rudy with the gold teeth. And I don't know what happened. And like, that's just the way it works for me. And it's not pretty. And it stopped on January 3rd of 2013 because I went to treatment. And the treatment center I went to is in Tampa. It was much nicer than the place I was living before. So I was really okay with staying. I went to sign up for outpatient. And I ended up staying there for 3 months and then doing 2 months of outpatient because they like told me no way I could do outpatient. I don't know why, but it was not appropriate, I guess. And I didn't really have an option because my parents like sat around and like had a bag packed for me and then just kind of left and I was there and that was it. I had no intentions of staying sober when I was in treatment. In fact, when I was in treatment, a package of heroin from Thailand showed up in the mail at my parents' house. That was my escape plan for treatment. And I got in a lot of trouble in treatment. My therapist was very upset. And, you know, I don't know. They told me to get a sponsor. And I was at this meeting where there's a lot of nice young people on Wednesday nights. And I was like, I guess I'll pick somebody. And so I looked around and I like saw like a really pretty girl. And then I saw this guy standing next to her. And I was like, I guess I'll pick him because he has this like pretty girl. And like, there's more to the story. He had like a crowd of people around him and a lot of people like were drawn to him and a lot of people were paying attention to him and seemed to want to be around him. And that was something that I really wanted in addition to the pretty girl that he had with him. And so I asked that guy to be my sponsor and he's been my sponsor since that day. There were a lot of weird similarities in our story that made me believe that he wasn't a liar or whatever. And I started working steps while I was still in treatment, still with no intention of staying sober. I worked the first step. Like, it wasn't a surprise. I'd been introduced to AA when I was 14 in the first treatment center, and like I knew I was an alcoholic, and like it doesn't take much convincing to like tell me that, because if I read the doctor's opinion, I relate to almost everything in there. And but what was different this time was that I went on to step two and I went on to step three and I gave it a real shot. I'm not a religious person. I still use AA as my higher power most days, and that's just fine, you know, because it worked yesterday and it'll probably work today. Like, if I, you know, don't drink by midnight, it's okay. And I did the third step and he drew some weird rudimentary like figures and like told me about this like gateway to paradise or something that I was gonna walk through if I like God shouldered the burden of my life. And I was just like, okay, like that's fine, like please just let me go. And like, and I like kind of, I mean, I never really tried that hard, you know. I stayed sober like despite my best efforts, and I stayed sober because I did a thorough fourth step. And like when I was done with the steps, I said, are you sure I can sponsor people? And he said yes, and I started sponsoring people. And I don't know that I had any real intention of ever staying sober until I started sponsoring others. At that point, it was kind of just like, what else am I going to do? Like, I mean, I'm stuck in Florida. Like, I might as well, like, go to AA, and, like, you guys aren't that bad. And, like, some of you are all right. I'm looking around and like I like some of you, and I'm like, so I'm like stuck in Florida, and like I guess I'm gonna do AA because my parents are still pissed. It's only been like a year, so like I might as well sponsor people. And then like I'm reading the We Agnostics with a sponsee at a halfway house, and like just the shit that is coming out of my mouth that like I just could not believe that like I'm like talking to like this guy about God, and like I'm just like looking around making sure no one's like, you know, staring at me like, what are you doing? And like all of a sudden it became very clear that like AA had worked for me, and that I believed that AA worked, and that I believed that AA could work for this person. And that was, you know, like I don't know, like 9 months ago or something. And like since then things have been a bit different. I've gotten the opportunity to go back to school. I've been doing pretty good. Just finished another semester. I've been in school for 5 years or something like that, and I finally have something to show for it. Over the last 3 semesters, I'll be done with my AA after this next semester, and I'll like have like a degree, like not a great one, but like a degree, something that I've been working for 5 years. I have a relationship with my family. I know the garage code to their house, which is pretty big for me because I used to steal from them, and they used to like, you know, not let me come around for like a year at a time or something like that. I'm just gonna call it here. I mean, there's 5 minutes left, but like I haven't been sober for that long, so it's like, what am I really gonna talk about? Brian's gonna do a much better job than me. Thank you, everybody. Dan Carter, I love you. Once again.